श्री श्रीमती भक्ति सिद्धांत गोस्वामी महाराज की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की प्रेम से बोलो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सरस्वती गौर भक्त वृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौर So you're reading from Krishna book, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the advent of Lord Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one shall offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva De. Author. Nast praesu abhadresu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavate Uttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And love in service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastata Dasatarine Om Ajnanam Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakya Chakshun Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Before I start speaking on and reading on the advent of Lord Krishna, I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas sitting here, so I can be able to speak something on the science of Krishna consciousness according to my understanding and what Srila Prabhupada has commented in his elaborate purports. So Sura Prabhu was reading yesterday and he stopped at the luminous planets, so I'll continue from there. The luminous planets like the sun, moon or stars reflect themselves in different types of reservoirs like water, oil or ghee. The reflection moves according to the movement of the reservoir. The reflection of the moon is on the water and the moving water makes the moon also appear to be moving. But actually the moon is not moving. Similarly, by mental concoction the living entity attains different kinds of bodies, although actually he has no connection with such bodies. But on account of illusion, being enchanted by the influence of Maya, the living entity thinks that he belongs to a particular type of body. That is the way of conditioned life. Suppose a living entity is now in a human form of body. He thinks that he belongs to the human community, or a particular country, or a particular place. He identifies himself in that way and unnecessarily prepares for another body, which is not required by him. Such desires and mental concoctions are the cause of different types of bodies. The covering influence of material nature is so strong that the living entity is satisfied in whatever body he gets, and he identifies with that body with great pleasure. Therefore, I beg to request you not to be overwhelmed by the dictation of your mind and body. So Prabhupada's last sentence says, therefore, I beg to request you not to be overwhelmed by the dictation of your mind and body. It's a humble prayer by a pure devotee of the Lord, begging us not to be overburdened or overwhelmed by the dictation of the body and mind. That's a very important point that Prabhupada ends the the purport with, the paragraph with. So as we know that the advent of Lord Krishna, what led to the advent of Lord Krishna? Obviously we know that the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva went to Swetadvip, where Shirodakshai Vishnu lies. And they did not actually, Prabhupada states that they did not actually see Lord Vishnu in person, but Brahma reciprocated through a prayer. And Bhumi was represented by Mother Cow, and she was accompanying the demigods when they went to see Lord Vishnu. And Bhumi Devi, who was represented by Mother Cow, first approached Brahma and begged that, you know, she was under a lot of burden. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, during the appearance of Kali, when Parikshit Maharaj encounters Kali, Kali is obviously in the process of hitting Father Bull. So what is Kali doing? He's attacking the legs. So the four legs represent very important significances in our Vedic practices, because each leg represents a pillar. And so the first one represents truthfulness. The second leg represents austerity. The third leg represents cleanliness. And the fourth leg represents mercy. And Srila Prabhupada comments that in the age of Kali, the only prevailing leg is truthfulness, which is also slowly, with the influence of Kali, diminishing. But the three legs have already been destroyed. And what are those? Austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. And Srila Prabhupada comments what austerity represents. Austerity represents false pride. So when we are when we have pride or even false pride, austerity is destroyed. Srila Prabhupada comments that cleanliness is destroyed due to association with women. And mercy is destroyed by the influence of intoxication. And as we know that the four regulative principles that we follow in ISKCON are no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. If you look at those four and look at the four representations of the leg of Mother Cow, you can see the similarity. And this is very important, because we should understand those four principles and how those four principles are in relation to the bigger picture. So Srila Prabhupada also states in his purports, whatever we do in life would be tested at the time of death. And as we can see here, we are accepting different bodies according to our mental, as Srila Prabhupada says, according to our mental desires and concoctions. So there is a very good example in Srimad Bhagavatam where King Kulakshekar states that I better die immediately so that the swan of our mind can seek entrance into the stem of your lotus feet. What does King Kulakshekar mean by that? Basically what he's asking is that the mind is undisturbed at this moment and quite healthy. So my bodily functions are also not disrupted. You know, at the time of death, the first thing that most of us go through is bodily pain. Because with age, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, with age, the bodily pains are coming. And in that state of mind, it is even more difficult to remember Krishna, because there is so much pain. So King Kulakshekar, in his prayers in the Bhagavatam, he actually is praying that since my mind is not undisturbed at this time and I'm healthy and my bodily functions are not disrupted, maybe it is better I leave my body in such a state of mind, because it's easier to remember Krishna Because we know that at the time of death, whatever our thoughts are, we attain to that. And that's why we practice devotional service, because through the process of devotional service, we are able to remember Krishna, not just at the time of death, but daily. And that's why Srila Prabhupada commented several times that we are not these bodies, we are spirit souls. In fact, on the movie, the mantra, the movie, and the Swami who started it all, one of the beginning scenes, the show is Srila Prabhupada stating that very emphatically on the Vyasasan, that we are spirit souls. So that is what I gathered from Prabhupada's first paragraph here. And then Prabhupada continues to translate that Vasudev thus requested Kans not to be envious of his newly married sister. One should not be envious of anyone, because envy is the cause of fear both in this world and in the next. When one is before Yamaraj, the lord of punishment after death, Vasudev appealed to Kans on behalf of Devaki, stating that she was his younger sister. He also appealed at an auspicious moment, at the time of marriage. A younger sister or brother is supposed to be protected as one's child. The position is overall so delicate, Vasudev reasoned, that if you kill her, it will go against your high reputation. As we know, in the material world, they are not religiously inclined, especially in the age of Kali. The religious inclination is not there. However, one thing is there, and we can know that also from the present affairs that are taking place in the political arena, that reputation is the biggest thing. So he was very tactical. You know, Vasudev was very tactical. He knew that he could not speak to Kansa on the platform of religious practices. But what he's saying is that it is against your high reputation. Because they all want to be pampered. They all want to know that they are important. It is I and me. That's all it is. It's all egoistic. It's all about pride. So he knew that if he addressed him, that this was against your high reputation, it will make him feel, oh yeah, yeah, maybe this I should not do. So you see how devotees are not just sentimental, that, you know, materialist people sometimes think that devotees are just sentimental. No. We are able, according to place, time and circumstance, with the strength of what is spoken by sadhu, shastra and guru. These three things. Very important. Sadhu, shastra and guru. Be able to use that knowledge in circumstances. And so, Vasudev is trying to reason with Kamsa here on the platform of that, you know, this doesn't befit a worthy king like you. We know that he was not worthy. But, you know, he had to use the words, because obviously Vasudev knew that Kamsa was more powerful than him. So physically is not the way to do things. It is with intelligence. And Prabhupada comments on this in his purports. He says, intelligence is supposed to direct the mind. And so, obviously, we have the senses. We have over the senses the mind. And then over the mind is the intelligence. So we should always take shelter of higher intelligence. In this way, Vasudev tried to pacify Kans by good instruction as well as by philosophical discrimination. But Kansa was not to be pacified, because his association was demonic. Because of his demonic association, he was a demon. Although born in a very high royal family, a demon never cares for any good instruction. He is just like a determined thief. One can give him moral instruction, but it will not be effective. Similarly, those who are demonic or atheistic by nature can hardly assimilate any good instruction, however authorized it may be. That is the difference between demigods and demons. Those who can accept good instruction and try to live their lives in that way are called demigods, and those who are unable to take such good instruction are called demons. So, Srila Prabhupada comments on this further in his purpose that mind is supposed to be controlled by the practice of yoga. And he gives a very important instruction in his purpose. He says, the easiest way to control the mind, as suggested by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is chanting Hare Krishna. Because, you know, Arjuna asked this question also in the Gita from Krishna. How is it possible to control the mind? The mind is more difficult to control than the wind. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this instruction, which Srila Prabhupada has written in his purports, that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we are able to control the mind. The great mantra for deliverance in whole humility. So this is very important, because it is stated that we should be doing it in all humility. And we know that out of the 8 Shikshastakam prayers, the jewel of it is Trinad Api Sunis Chena Taror Api Sais Nuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari. In fact, it is recommended that we should wear a thread of this as a necklace around us. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So it's just not chanting Hare Krishna, but chanting in what mood? And that was very essential, that we are chanting in the mood of humility. Because in the mood of humility, we will not get any of these symptoms that Kamsa is getting. Let's put it that way. Very simple formula given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by Srila Prabhupada. We shall jump on it if we are not. In this way, failing in his attempt to pacify Kans, Vasudeva wondered how he will protect his wife Devaki. When there is imminent danger, an intelligent person should try to avoid the dangerous position as far as possible. But if in spite of endeavoring by all intelligence, one fails to avoid the dangerous position, there is no fault on his part. One should try his best to execute his duties, but if the attempt fails, he is not at fault. You know, there is a very nice saying that I learned when I was in college, that generally we spend half of the time thinking of what has happened and half of the time what is going to happen. We don't leave any time for the current present. And if you see from the last paragraph, Vasudeva is not thinking of what has happened, that there has been a divine voice. He is not thinking of what is going to happen. He is trying to think of what needs to be taken care of. And this is very important, because when we spend too much time thinking of what happened, oh, I could have done this better. Oh, why is this way? Because I didn't do it this way. Oh, what will happen in the future? No, we are not thinking. We don't have any time for the current, the present. And the emphasis should be that we should be molding our current present time, because that will shape the future. So leave some time to take care of things. And Srila Prabhupada also says that the senses can only be controlled by the strength of devotional service to Krishna. So, by engagement of our senses in the process of Sharanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, the 9 processes of devotional service outlined in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and spoken by Rupa Goswami, we should engage ourselves 100%, like what Srila Prabhupada used to do. and not worry too much of what has happened and what is going to happen. Because the Lord says in the Gita to Arjun, boldly declare my devotee does not perish. Do we have trust in that word? So if we are thinking about things outside this context, then we shall again introspectively come back and realize what is it that Srila Prabhupada has written in his books. So Srila Prabhupada continues to say, Vasudev thought of his wife as follows: for the present, let me save the life of Devaki. Then later on, if they are children, I shall see how to save them. He further thought, if in the future I get a child, who can kill Kamsa? Just as Kamsa is thinking, then both Devaki and the child will be saved because the law of providence is inconceivable. But now, somewhere or other, let me save the life of Devaki. Just what I spoke on currently. Srila Prabhupada continues to state, there is no certainty how a living entity contacts a certain type of body, just as there is no certainty how a blazing fire comes into contact with a certain type of wood in the forest. When there is a forest fire, it is experienced that the blazing fire sometimes slips over one tree and catches another by the influence of the wind. Similarly, a living entity may be very careful in the matter of executing his duties, but it is still very difficult for him to know what type of body he is going to get in the next life. Maharaj Bharat was very faithfully executing the duties of self-realization, but by chance he developed temporary affection for a deer, and in his next life he had to accept the body of a deer. That's why we should be very careful, like Prabhupada says, be very careful in the matter of executing duties. As we know that our Sanatana Dharma, our occupational duty, is Jiva Sarupa Krishna Nitya Das. So, Srila Prabhupada says that the method described is Savai Mana Krishna Patara Vindayo. That we should be rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that should be our ultimate goal of life. And that is real intelligence. So, executing devotional service on a daily basis is what is recommended by Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas. And if we are executing that, then we do not need to be worried about the rituals that are mentioned in the shastras. Because by the execution of devotional service, automatically everything is taken care of. Srila Prabhupada continues to say, Vasudev, after deliberating on how to save his wife, began to speak to Kamsa with great respect. Although Kamsa was the most sinful man, sometimes it happens that a most virtuous person like Vasudev has to flatter a person like Kamsa, a most vicious person. That is the way of all diplomatic transactions. Although Vasudev was deeply aggrieved, he smiled outwardly. He addressed the shameless Kamsa in that way because he was so atrocious. Vasudev said to Kamsa, my dear brother-in-law, please consider that you have no danger from your sister. You are awaiting some danger because you have heard a prophetic voice in the sky. But the danger is to come from the sons of your sister who are not present now. And who knows, there may or may not be sons in the future. Considering all this, you are safe for the present, nor is there cause of fear from your sister. If there are any sons born of her, I promise that I shall present them to you for necessary action. Now, you know there is the famous shloka in the Bhagavad Gita, Yad Yad Acharati Shastras Tad Tad Evataro Jana Sayat Praman Kurote Lokastad Anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, the world pursues. You know, Kamsa knew that Vasudev was a man of honor. That's what Srila Prabhupada will translate. That he had a word of honor. And so, because he had the word of honor, he was a devotee of the Lord. Even a demon like Kamsa was ready to trust. And as we will continue reading, Srila Prabhupada says that we should be very careful about demons and politicians and all these people, because their word cannot be trusted. But on the other hand, a pure devotee of the Lord can also convince a demon, or can at least make him trust him. But it is not expected from a demon. So this is very important. But Vasudev was using diplomatic channels. And at the end, he was also given an assurance by his own word. And his word was as good as gold. Like we have a saying in English, your word should be as good as gold. So Vasudev was able to convince Kamsa because of that principle. And further it says, Kamsa knew the value of Vasudev's word of honor, and he was convinced by his argument. For the time being, he desisted from the heinous killing of his sister. Thus Vasudev was pleased and praised the decision of Kamsa. In this way he returned to his home. Each year thereafter, in due course of time, Devaki gave birth to a child. Thus she gave birth to 8 male children as well as one daughter. When the first son was born, Vasudev kept his word of honor and immediately brought the child before Kamsa. It is said that Vasudev was very much elevated and famous for his word of honor, and he wanted to maintain this fame. Although it was very painful for Vasudev to hand over the newly born child, Kamsa was very glad to receive him. But he became a little compassionate with the behavior of Vasudev. This event is very exemplary. For a great soul like Vasudev, there is nothing considered to be painful in the course of discharging one's duty. A learned person like Vasudev carries out his duties without hesitation. On the other hand, a demon like Kamsa never hesitates in committing any abominable action. It is said, therefore, that a saintly person can tolerate all kinds of miserable conditions of life. A learned man can discharge his duties without awaiting favorable circumstances. A heinous person like Kamsa can act in any sinful way, and a devotee can sacrifice everything to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Lord is pleased, Srila Prabhupada says, with one's service, one's mission in life is fulfilled. And that's what a devotee knows. And that's why Srila Prabhupada mentioned several times that we need to bring the one in our lives, because the zeros have no meaning without the one. What was that one? Just bring Krishna. So a devotee is self-satisfied. And that's why we know that it is so important to have devotee association. Devotee association is so important because although Kamsa, as we can see, was a demon, just with that little association that he was having with Vasudev, it was changing his consciousness. But again, when he went back to his circle of association, which was the demons, we know that he will keep on changing. But just a moment's association. Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastra Koi. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Just a moment's association with a pure devotee can attain all success. Kamsa became satisfied by the action of Vasudev. He was surprised to see Vasudev keeping his promise. And being compassionate upon him and pleased, he began to speak as follows. My dear Vasudev, you need not present this child to me. I am not in danger from this child. I have heard that the 8th child born of you and Devaki will kill me. Why should I accept this child unnecessarily? You can take him back. Again, we can see that Kamsa's heart was getting purified by the association of a devotee and his actions. His actions. Devotees, as we know, have to follow Srila Prabhupada's example. That's why he's acharya. Because he's leading by example. The example part is the most important. So, When Vasudeva was returning home with his firstborn child, although he was pleased by the behavior of Kansa, he could not believe in him because he knew that Kansa was uncontrolled. An atheistic person cannot be firm in his word of honor. One who cannot control the senses cannot be steady in his determination. The great politician Chanakya Pandit said, "Never put your trust in a diplomat or a woman. Those who are addicted to unrestricted sense gratification can never be truthful, nor can they be trusted with any faith." Srila Prabhupada comments that regretfully big politicians and leaders in the material world simply create enmity and are not interested in spiritual advancement. And that's what's happening in our today's modern world. As we know, we are under so much anxiety because right now there's a North Korea subject going on, there's been a subject on China going on, there's a subject on India and China. If you read the news, all that is happening is based on enmity. This country sends warships, the other country sends warships. If you send the warship, the other one is sending submarines. This is what's happening. So Srila Prabhupada says because the world leaders are actually creating that mood. And I'm trying to finish what Srila Prabhupada said that in the Krishna book. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 10, Srila Prabhupada elaborates a lot on some of the things he's speaking here. If we have time, I may touch on it, if we have time. So, I'll continue reading. At that time, the great sage Narad came to Kansa. He was informed of Kansa's becoming compassionate to Vasudeva and returning his firstborn child. Narad was very eager to accelerate the descent of Lord Krishna as soon as possible. He therefore informed Kansa that in Vrindavan, personalities like Nanda Maharaj and all the other cowherd men and their wives, and on the other side, Vasudev, his father Surasena, and all his relatives born in the family of Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, along with all their friends and well-wishers, were actually demigods. Narad warned Kansa to be careful of them, since Kansa and his friends and advisors were all demons. Demons are always afraid of demigods. After being thus informed by Narad about the appearance of the demigods in different families, Kansa at once became very much alarmed. He understood that since the demigods had already appeared, Lord Vishnu must be coming soon. And he at once arrested both his brother-in-law Vasudev and Devaki and put them behind prison bars. So, again, we know the incidences and we know the mentality of demigods and demons here. And it's very clearly stated by Srila Prabhupada that when he realized that everyone was from a demigod family, he knew that Lord Vishnu will be born. So that also made him quickly take the action of imprisoning both Vasudev, Devaki, and obviously his father. Within the prison, shackled in iron chains, Vasudev and Devaki gave birth to a male child year after year. And Kansa, thinking each of the babies to be the incarnation of Vishnu, killed them one after another. He was particularly afraid of the eighth child, but after the visit of Narad, he came to the conclusion that any child might be Krishna. Therefore, it was better to kill all the babies who took birth from Devaki and Vasudev. This action of Kansa is not very difficult to understand. In the history of the world, there are many instances of persons in the royal order who have killed their father, brother, or whole family and friends for the satisfaction of their ambitions. There is nothing astonishing about this. For members of the demonic, greedy royal order can kill anyone for their nefarious ambitions. And to that point, you know, we know in history, even if we take India when it was ruled by the Muslim Mughals, Aurangzeb imprisoned his father Shah Jahan. He imprisoned his father Shah Jahan. Shah Jahan also imprisoned his father Jahangir. Yet he was the one in line to be the next king. So this is very common. We also know that this is created because of lust and greed. So Kamsa was aware of his previous birth by the grace of Narad. He learned that in his previous birth he had been a demon of the name Kalanemi and that he had been killed by Vishnu. Having now taken his birth in the Bhoja family, he decided to become the deadly enemy of the Yadu dynasty. Krishna was going to take birth in that family, and Kamsa was very much afraid that he would be killed by Krishna, just as he had been killed in his last birth. As we know, the incident of Kalanemi, when the fighting between the demigods was taken, he was on his carrier, the lion, and Vishnu was on his carrier, Garuda, and he sent a weapon to kill Vishnu, and Vishnu in turn used that weapon to kill him, and that is basically was the end of Kalanemi. He first of all imprisoned his father Ugrasena because he was the chief king among the Yadu, Bhoja and Andhaka dynasties, and he also occupied the kingdom of Surasena, Vasudeva's father. He declared himself the king of all such places. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first chapter of Krishna, the advent of Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada mentions many times that dharma duty does not mean that we should abandon what we are doing. For example, a doctor treats a patient. That is his dharma. That is the real meaning of dharma. Dharma means that we should be doing our duty, not forsake our duty, but do the duty, whatever we do, do it as an offering to him. And as we know that we are trying to enjoy the kingdom of God without God. That is the biggest problem, that we want to enjoy the kingdom of God without God. If one does not understand Krishna, the Bhagavad says, Shama eva hi kevalam, then he is simply spoiling his time and wasting his labor. And so, if I have the permission of the senior, I can take 2 minutes and read what Srila Prabhupada comments in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-10. Archita Prabhu, I have your blessings. I heard yes. Okay. So I'm just because it is so important, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about demonic mentality. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text number 10, which really was in line with what Srila Prabhupada is also speaking about demonic. I'm just waiting for the iPad to turn on. you have it? Yeah, please. Maybe that would be faster. So the chapter is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. So I'm just going to read the translation. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport says, the completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed towards the fulfillment of desires in sense gratification. In such civilization, in all spheres of life, the ultimate end is sense gratification. In politics, social service, altruism, philanthropy, ultimately in religion, or even in salvation, the very same tint of sense gratification is ever increasingly predominant. In the political field, the leaders of men fight with one another to fulfill their personal sense gratification. The voters adore the so-called leaders only when they promise sense gratification. As soon as the voters are dissatisfied in their own sense satisfaction, they dethrone the leaders. The leaders must always disappoint the voters by not satisfying their senses. The same is applicable in all other fields. No one is serious about the problems of life. Even those who are on the path of salvation desire to become one with the absolute truth and desire to commit spiritual suicide for sense gratification. But the Bhagavatam says that one should not live for sense gratification. One should satisfy the senses only in so much as required for sense self-preservation and not for sense gratification. Because the body is made of senses which only require a certain amount of satisfaction. There are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses. But the senses are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. For example, marriage or the combination of a man and a woman is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning. But foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is search after the absolute truth. Seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements in sense gratification, because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth. And that sort of engagement will make one happy, because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that absolute truth is explained as follows in the next verse. Any questions, any comments? Srimad Bhagavatam class ki? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki? Yeah.